Well, the interesting new vision of science really challenges that old perspective of a Newtonian materialistic world. And in fact, the first challenge actually occurred back around 1895, at exactly that same time when physicists said, we know exactly everything about how the universe works using Newtonian principles. And that was the belief that, of course, the universe was made out of matter and that the smallest particles of matter were the atoms, and therefore we had a very material grounding in a universe. However, back in 1895, there was a crack in that mechanical worldview. For it was at that time that a man by the name of Rontgen discovered X-rays, that he observed that a mysterious force could emanate from matter and actually penetrate through other matter. And at the very same time, Anton Becquerel and Marie and Pierre Curie discovered the phenomenon of radioactivity. It really revealed that atomic elements were not immutable as they had presumed, that atoms could actually change their character. Then 2 years later, in 1897, J.J. Thomson discovered something. He discovered electrons. He found that the atom wasn't the smallest unit in the universe, that inside the atom, there were even smaller things that were subunits of the atom. So all of a sudden, the view of the atom being the smallest particle was now challenged and recognized that there were things inside that atom. Well, what about those electrons? And the interesting thing about those electrons was that they were studied by Max Planck. He found that the electrons actually expressed a very funny and unique behavior. As you might recall, a picture of an electron's traveling around the nucleus of an atom, that there are layers of electrons that we call shells, and that each layer represents electrons with different energies and potentials. Well, what Planck was studying was what happens if you heat up an atom, and it causes electrons to get heated up and more energized, and they actually jump from one shell to the other. What was unique, as Planck discovered, was as the electron jumped from one energy level to the other energy level, it didn't go through a gradient of increasing or decreasing level. It jumped from one quantum of energy to the next quantum of energy. And that's why the concept of the word quantum leaps or quantum physics was introduced into the nature of physics, that there were instantaneous jumps without any intermediate forms going on. Einstein extended these studies. Einstein was looking at light, and in his study of light, which is an immaterial energy force, he found that it also had the characteristics of particles. So he created the concept of a photon, the equivalent of a particle of light, a quantum of light, that had particular qualities. Then, lastly, in 1926, Louis Victor de Broglie predicted that all the particles of matter also had non-material waves associated with them. The de Broglie hypothesis showed that, for example, electrons were both actual particles, as Thomson has suggested, but they were also wave-like particles that Max Planck suggested. So all of a sudden, it said the matter that we were looking at once that was so defined and precise as physical units, all of a sudden turns out to have a weirdness to it. It was just about 1925 where Newtonian physics finally had to recognize this Zen like paradox, that a subunit of the universe was either matter or energy at the same time. And those are two mutually exclusive states. How can something be physical and not physical at the same time? Well, that is the weirdness of quantum mechanics. So that it turns out what we perceive as matter, the stuff of material things in front of our face, when you look at those atoms and carefully look inside those atoms, you find that there's nothing necessarily physical in an atom. An atom essentially is consisting of subunits of force fields, that they're the equivalent of miniature tornadoes of energy inside an atom, a nano tornado, so to speak. So that the concept of a material universe, that everything was made out of matter, had to be altered. That in 1925, physics adopted the principles of quantum mechanics and said matter and energy are one and the same. And therefore, if you really want to understand matter, you must also include the relevance of the energy in that field. So it was Einstein's unified theory that said that energy and matter are one and the same, entangled and interdependent upon each other. But the final conclusion is simply this. The nature of the universe as a material mechanical machine was now lost. That this concept of materialism was out. That it just didn't exist this way. In addition, Remember those beliefs that Newtonian mechanics told us about, that the universe could be understood as a consequence of materialism, reductionism, and determinism, and that the materialism component is now thrown out. What about reductionism, the belief that you can understand how something works by taking it apart and looking at the particles because they behave like billiard balls, one hitting the other? Well, this concept was also removed by Max Planck. He showed that things don't really occur in one sequence of something hitting one thing and then that hitting another thing, etc., etc. Planck revealed that things were entangled, that all of a sudden it was not very easy to see any linear pathway, that in fact, to understand the nature of what was going on, you actually had to understand all the other things in the field besides the things you were looking at, so that matter and energy were totally entangled with one another, and therefore the concepts of reductionism, taking something apart and understanding how it works, was no longer valid because reductionism didn't incorporate the entangled energy that also influenced the reaction. So all of a sudden now the two principles that we built our civilization on, materialism, reductionism, that disappears. But then most importantly, the concept of determinism, the third leg of that Newtonian view of the universe, the concept of determinism was lost as well. And why is this important? Because the nature of determinism is the belief that science holds that says that not only can we understand how things work, but we can actually manipulate and control the universe. And look where it's gotten us. With all the science that we have, things are farther out of control and more disorganized than ever before. So in fact, the concept of determinism really isn't very viable as a scientific concept. And in fact, Werner Heisenberg, in what is referred to as a theory of uncertainty, said that the more you actually try to predict the nature of something, the less you can understand it. And so it actually reveals that determinism doesn't exist. So all of a sudden, the whole principle mechanism of a material universe drops away. And it says, yes, there is matter, but it's also energy, and that the invisible stuff you don't see is very, very fundamental to controlling the material stuff. But this is an important time to also bring this point in. Just because quantum physics came in, it didn't mean that Newtonian physics was totally wrong. You can still use Newton's equations and predict the movement of the solar system. So it's important to recognize this. The adoption of quantum mechanics did not negate Newtonian physics, it subsumed it, meaning there's a much larger picture of the world of physics and the universe, of which Newtonian physics is only a small part. Quantum mechanics emphasized that there is a material universe, but it is actually a component of and controlled by invisible energy forces that collectively comprise what we call the field, the invisible forces that surround us all. Now, the relevance of the field. Because up to now, right at this current time, we're still emphasizing the role of matter and the physical material reality. And yet, the field, according to quantum physics, is the source of where everything ultimately comes from. In fact, in a brilliant, brilliant summary that only Einstein was really capable of providing, he said, and this is a quote from Einstein, "The field is the sole governing agency of the particle." Simply what he meant by that is the field, the invisible energy that the universe is made out of, the matrix that Planck actually called it, the energy matrix, the field, is the sole governing agency of matter, which is referred to as particles. So give you an example of that. If we do an experiment where I take a iron and a file, and I file that iron, a pile of iron dust, and I dust, and I that put it in a salt shaker and sprinkle it onto a piece of paper, the iron dust falls randomly all over the place. And no matter how many times I do it, every time I sprinkle the iron dust, I get a random pile of iron filings. However, I change the experiment a little bit. The next time before sprinkling the filings, I take a magnet and put it underneath the table. Now, when I sprinkle the iron filings, rather than falling in a random pattern, the iron filings form this very exquisite shape that we recognize as the shape of the magnetic field. Well, the importance of this is, what created the structure to the iron filings? And the answer, of course, is it must have been the field. Why? Because without the field, the iron filings were just random. So basically, this is a vision of what Einstein was saying. The field is the sole governing agency of the particle. In other words, the iron filings inherently don't know how to make a structure of the magnetic field. It's the field that was shaping the matter. Well, the relevance about that is, Imagine a situation where you didn't know the magnet existed, but you sprinkle the iron filings and they form this very elaborate pattern. And then you've tried to say, well, how does that filing pattern arise? What causes these particles to form that structure? So then what we do is we take the particles apart. We take the particles and we put them through all scientific assays and trying to find where in the particle is the nature of this pattern. Well, recognize that we would never be able to figure out the pattern because we didn't understand the nature of the field. Now take that little analogy and apply it to the world of science today. Because what we're trying to do is understand the nature of the human body or the biology of our environment and the biosphere and what's going on. By what? Studying the particles like iron filings, trying to understand where health or pathology comes into play in these particles. The question is, how much looking at the particles will it take to fully understand why the particles have taken on a certain structure? And the reality is, as we now know from the nature of quantum mechanics, no matter how much you look at the particles, you'll never understand the nature of the structure that ultimately evolves, because that's due to the invisible field. So now what we have to do is take that understanding and apply it to the world in which we live. And says, look, yes, the material science that we look at, such as medicine, that looks at the body and takes the cells apart to try and understand the nature of health and disease, is a science that is based on a material realm and not on the energetic realm. So consequently, how can we get a resolution from medicine about the nature of health and disease by looking at the particles when they themselves aren't recognizing the field? So the answer is, it's the answer's in the field. So the first key misperception that's leading to our apocalypse is all that matters is matter is totally wrong. Science has disproved its own pet dogma. But if matter doesn't matter as much as once we believed, then what does? And to answer that, I just quote Einstein, "The field is the only reality."